Welcome to the Caltex Theatre, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theatre is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear the story of a family on trial. On trial, not in a court of law, but in their own hearts and minds, as justice unfolds the tragic background to the death of the son of the house. Starring in Family on Trial, you will hear Frank Waters, your producer, E. Mason Wood. The Caltex Theatre presents Family on Trial, Act One.
Hello, Sergeant. This is Detective Inspector Lunt. Has the superintendent come in yet? Well, put me through, will you? Oh, good morning, sir. Lunt here. That business of the Barclay child who was reported missing. Oh, yes, sir, we've found him. At his school, sir. I'm there now. We've found him in the playground. Yes, I'm afraid so, sir. Dead. The ambulance has just arrived. Yes, sir, the father's on his way here. I'll let you know as soon as I've seen him. Goodbye, sir.
Inspector Lunt.
Yes, Mr. Harris.
Couldn't you have waited 5 minutes? Then all the boys would have been out of the playground.
They won't see anything. My men know their job. Tell me, Mr. Harris, was Ronald Barclay an only son?
Yes.
Heaven help the father. From the third floor.
Why did he do it?
Why?
You're assuming suicide.
I'm assuming nothing. Only the death of a boy, Mr. Harris. He fell from a third floor window of the science block. Fell to the concrete below. That's all I'm assuming. That and a reason.
That's the assembly bell they're going in now. They'll have to be told about it sometime.
How old was the boy?
14.
He had everything to live for. A happy home, a kind mother, and a rich father. There was nothing he lacked. Was there?
I shouldn't have thought so.
And yet he decides it's not enough. I tell you, Harris, I've got two of my own, both girls. Something's gone wrong somewhere when the flower dies before it's bloomed. What can you tell me about the boy?
Not very much, I'm afraid. He was reserved, determinedly himself. None of us had much contact with him, except possibly his form master.
Name?
Sandrock. Mark Sandrock. You know, Inspector, in a way it always surprised me that Ronald was Ralph Barclay's boy. They were so unlike one another.
Did they get on? Father and son, I mean.
Of course. Ralph worshipped the boy. As a result, he was one of our best governors because he always said it gave him a personal interest in the school.
Ralph Barclay, a pillar of society. Chairman of your board of governors. A director of Steele and Nicholson. A member of the borough council. A future mayor, possibly.
And a very old friend of mine, Inspector.
Oh, I see.
The whole thing's so incredible. The police phone up and say a child is missing. We have reason to believe he's one of your school. And then... And all this at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I'd like a word with that form master you mentioned, Mr. Sandrock. And with your school caretaker. Bainshaw, isn't it?
Yes, I'll get my secretary to see that they're told. Mrs. Chase, see that Bainshaw and Mr. Sandrock are asked to come to my study when they're free, will you?
Stan.
Ralph. Oh, you're here sooner than I expected. Come in. Inspector Lunt, this is Ralph Barclay, the boy's father.
How do you do, Mr. Barclay?
You do.
Would you like to sit down, Ralph?
No, Stan, I'm all right. 14 years. It's very difficult to begin again. When you've been building for 14 years, it hardly seems worth it.
I don't know what to say, Ralph.
I always wanted a son, you know. Even after Kate was born. Elizabeth had a terrible time with Kate, but she gave me a son because she knew I wanted one. Too late for her to have another.
I'm sorry, Ralph.
Have they got the man?
Which man?
The man who did it, of course.
Mr. Barclay, I'm afraid...
Let me inspect him. Ralph, the police view seemed to be that it was suicide.
Suicide? They think he threw himself from that window deliberately?
Yes.
That's impossible. Stan, you know it's impossible.
I'm not sure, Ralph.
You should be. It's against the whole boy's upbringing. He'd never do a thing like that. If he died, it was because someone murdered him.
Mr. Barclay, when did you first discover the boy was missing?
When he didn't come down to breakfast. It was about 8 o'clock this morning.
Had he spent the night at home?
But of course. He went to bed at 9 o'clock.
Did you or Mrs. Barclay, or your daughter, actually see him go to bed?
Well, no. We all went to a dance at the town hall. But he was told to go to bed at 9.
And he always did what he was told. It would never have occurred to him to go out without asking your permission.
Never?
I'm afraid he did, Mr. Barclay. Your son did go out, and without asking your permission. He died here shortly after midnight.
Come in.
You want to see me, sir?
Ah, Bainshaw. Yes, come in and shut the door. Yeah. This is Detective Inspector Lunt, Bainshaw.
Well, I ain't done nothing wrong.
Then you've got nothing to hide. You're the school caretaker, aren't you?
That's right.
And you live on the premises?
He has a flat at the rear of the school, Inspector.
What time do you make your last round at night, Bainshaw?
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's after youth club, it's about 11.
Youth club? What's that, Mr. Harris?
The school runs a club for the boys here 3 nights a week.
And last night was one of those nights?
Yes.
Was your son a member of this club, Mr. Barker?
Definitely not. I forbade him to go anywhere near the place.
Oh? Why?
Because I considered he had better things to do with his time.
I see. But he could have gained access to the school during club hours.
To some of the rooms, yes.
The rooms in the science block?
Possibly. I believe the photography section meets there once a week.
Last night?
I shall have to ask Sandrock. He's the club leader.
Bainshaw, a window was opened on the third floor of the science block last night. Have you any idea how that was done?
That was all shut up when I turned in. Yeah, which window you mean? There was one open on the landing of the third floor.
On the landing? No, I didn't mean that one. Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Seen it when I was doing me last round.
Did you shut it?
Of course I shut it and locked it.
That makes two windows which were open. Have you any idea who could have opened it in the first place?
One of the kids, I should think. You don't know what they're going to get up to next. Blimey, I could tell you some stories.
All right, Bainshaw, that'll do. I'll send for you if I want you.
All right. But if anybody tries to say I did anything wrong, I got another...
Yeah, before. What were you going, Major?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Sandrock.
Well, Sandrock, come in, will you?
I came as soon as I was free, Headmaster.
Mr. Sandrock, I'm Detective Inspector Lunt. I'd like to ask you a few questions. This is Ronnie's father.
We have met. I'm very sorry, Mr. Barclay.
Thank you.
You'll probably be asked to give evidence at the inquest, Mr. Sandrock.
At the inquest?
Yes, Mr. Barclay.
Why? Does he know something we haven't been told?
Mr. Harris gave me to understand that Mr. Sandrock was a friend of your son's.
That's right, Ralph. Ronnie was a difficult boy.
Difficult?
No, Mr. Barclay, not difficult. He just needed understanding.
Do you mean at school?
Partly, sir. And at the club.
I thought he wasn't a member of the club, Mr. Sandrock.
He wasn't, but I let him join us sometimes.
You let him join? Against my express instructions?
I'm afraid so, Mr. Barclay. I couldn't refuse him. He used to come to the club twice a week.
Twice a week? For how long?
Nearly 4 months.
Ralph, I swear I had no idea of this. If Sandrock had
What's
told
been going
me...
on? Why wasn't I told before? Why?
Before you answer, Mr. Barclay, Mr. Sandrock, I'd like to ask you a question. Did Ronnie come to see you last night?
Yes.
What sort of understanding did he need from you?
I can't say.
You must say.
Now, please, Mr. Barclay. You never saw Ronnie again after that, Mr. Sandrock?
No.
What time was that?
I can't remember.
You're not being very helpful, are you?
I'm sorry, I don't know all the answers.
Then we'll probably hear from you later. At the present, there's no further need to detain you, gentlemen. The death of an innocent always comes as a shock to the middle-aged. We feel our children should participate in the illusions with which we deceive ourselves. They rarely do. Good morning.
Is that you, Father?
Yes, Kate, I'm back. Is that the best you can do in the way of mourning for your brother?
What? Oh, you mean this dress. I haven't had time to change.
You could show him some respect, couldn't you?
The phone hasn't stopped ringing.
It's not much to ask, is it, some respect?
Father, give me a chance to defend myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ralph.
I heard you come in, Ralph. Mother, you shouldn't be downstairs.
I couldn't lie still doing nothing. I've been up in his room, thinking what to do with his things.
His things?
His clothes and toys. I thought Charlie Turrell might like them.
Beth, you can't. They belong here.
But he and Charlie were such good friends.
I won't hear of it. They belong to Ronnie. I don't want them going out of the house.
All right, Ralph. I didn't think you'd feel so strongly about it. Oh, I found this on his table.
A diary?
I didn't know he kept one. There were times when he was so secretive.
Give that to me, please, Beth.
Ralph, what was he doing at the school at 8 o'clock in the morning?
They're finding out, Beth. And I'm going to find out, too. This diary might help. Somebody's responsible for this, and I'm going to get the swine if it's the last thing I do. Go on, Stan. Read it. The first entry that mentions the name is the one for August the 30th. Read it.
August 3rd. Hooray, holidays soon. Won't see Mr. Nightingale for weeks and weeks. Well,
go on, read the next one.
August 22nd. Kate and Father rowing. They're always doing that these days.
No, it's the next one.
August the 30th. Went to party to escape Mr. Nightingale. He can't get me where there's a crowd. Charlie and the others were there too.
And then look here, September the 4th. Mr. Nightingale threatened to beat me today. He's a beast. And here, Stan, September 30th. Dreamed Mr. Nightingale was thrashing me.
Ralph, I don't understand.
Then there's another entry, entry after entry. Mr. Nightingale promised. Mr. Nightingale yelling. Mr. Nightingale, Mr. Nightingale, Mr. Nightingale. And finally here, the last entry. Read it.
October 9th. Last night I dreamed I killed Mr. Nightingale, but this morning he was still there. Then I heard the bad news. I knew he would never forgive me. I thought and thought, and now I know what to do. It is the only thing I can do, but I'm frightened.
That's all, Stan.
Well, who is this Mr. Nightingale?
I don't know. I was his father, and I don't know. You were his headmaster. Do you know?
I've never heard of the name. Does the diary say how Ronnie first met him?
No. You've seen everything that refers to him. Suddenly he's there, a man out of nowhere. A man with a personality and a name. A stranger who tormented and beat my son. I'll find him, Stan. I'll find him.
Now, look, Ralph.
He left this diary on his table. He meant to come back and finish that entry. We don't know what he went to do, but we know where he went.
He went to the school. He saw...
Yes. Stan, how well do you know Mark Sandrock?
Ralph, I don't like this. Think carefully.
It all fits, doesn't it?
This could be very dangerous, Ralph.
You're afraid? What of?
If you use this diary to bolster your suspicions, you'll be dragging everyone in. Yourself, Kate, Elizabeth, your private lives.
What are you afraid of? I want to know.
All right, I'm afraid of you. I've known you a long time. I think of you as a kind of Samson. When you're after something, you don't care what you lose.
What's wrong with that?
He pulled down the temple on himself. It will all go, Ralph. Your family, your job, the school. You'll leave nothing.
So, that's what you're afraid of. The school, your bread and butter.
Ralph, don't misunderstand. I'm your friend. I'll help you find this man.
But you want to do it more quietly. Is that it?
Yes.
All right, I'll do it your way. But, in return, you've got to do something for me.
Well, what is it?
All this depends on the verdict at the inquest tomorrow. Tomorrow the court will ask you for your opinion of my son. They'll ask whether you thought him the kind of boy to do away with himself. You will say no, do you understand? And you will keep on saying no, 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 until they are convinced. We must have an open verdict tomorrow. Will you help me get it?
Yes.
Then I'm on my way. Now I know what I'm looking for, and I swear to heaven I'll get him.
Sir?
What is it, Charlie?
It doesn't seem right here without him, does it?
No, Charlie.
You know something? He said he liked sitting here when you was teaching me maths. He said it was sort of friendly.
Yes, I suppose it was.
What do you think he went and done a stupid thing like that for?
Nobody knows, Charlie. Nobody even knows if he did do it.
Sir, you know this inquest they had last week? What's it mean when they say they give it an open verdict?
Well, it means the authorities aren't quite satisfied with the story of his death, so the police are making more inquiries.
Do they think it was murder?
I don't know. Do the boys think it was murder, Charlie?
Yes, sir.
There are a lot of rumours floating around, aren't there? About a man. They say Ronnie used to spend a lot of time with this man.
I don't know.
Charlie, these rumours say this man killed Ronnie.
I don't know nothing about that.
Charlie, do you think I'm that man?
You? God knows.
But that's what they're saying, isn't it? Charlie, why have they picked on me?
Oh, they don't mean it, sir. It's just because of the club and they know he came here with me.
And so they say I killed him. Charlie, are you sure Ronnie didn't tell you anything about this other man?
Oh, yes, I'm quite sure, sir. I don't know nothing about Mr. Nightingale. Honest, sir, I don't.
Come in.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Sandrock. I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Ah, yes, of course, Inspector. Oh, this is Charlie Turrell.
I'm pleased to meet you, Charlie. I must have a little talk with you sometime.
What about?
Well, Ronnie was your friend, wasn't he?
Yes.
Charlie, this gentleman is from the police. Don't you think you ought to treat him with more respect?
Why?
Aren't you afraid of the police, Charlie?
No. They're no better than anybody else, are they? Only they get away with it.
He seems to know the answers, doesn't he?
All right, Charlie, pack up now.
Okay, sir. Good night, sir.
Good night, Charlie. Well, Inspector, what brings you here? These rumours flying round the school?
Partly, Mr. Sandrock. And something else. At the inquest, when you were asked about the help and understanding you gave Ronnie Barclay, you evaded the question by saying the answer would cause unnecessary hurt.
Yes?
Well, I can't be hurt, can I?
Does that mean I have to tell you? All right. He was unhappy.
At home, you mean?
Yes, I get that, sir. They were rows. His sister was rebelling against parental yoke. Caused a lot of friction.
That's all he told you?
Yes.
These rumours you mentioned, they concern you. Did you know?
I had heard.
Nothing specific, you understand. Although one rumour says the police found your fingerprints on the windowpane.
That's nonsense.
On the contrary, it's fact. Did you close the window during the photographic session?
I may have. I can't remember.
Mr. Sandrock, Bainshaw told me of another window that had been open that night. A window on the landing on the same floor. Do you know anything about it?
No.
Are you certain?
Inspector, are you charging me?
No, I'm warning you. You're likely to get yourself into a lot of trouble. Not only did you encourage the boy to attend the club against his father's wishes, you also allowed him to be there after hours.
After hours?
I understand that boys of that age are not permitted to remain in the building after 7 o'clock. Is that right?
Yes, but
I suppose you felt in the circumstances another rule didn't matter. You can hardly wonder that rumor has singled you out.
I tell you, I had nothing to do with the boy's death.
I don't like this case. What time did you leave that night?
About 11, I think.
Did anybody see you leave?
No.
I'm sorry about that, Sandrock. Very sorry. Good night.
But you still have no proof, Ralph. A boy meets a man, all right. They become friendly. But there's nothing there to indicate murder.
It's a blasted weird friendship. His influence on Ronnie was anything but friendly.
Oh, stop it, both of you. Can't you see what you're doing to Mother?
It's all right,
no,
Kate.
It isn't. The boy's dead, isn't he? Do we have to go on forever tearing open the coffin to have another look?
Oh, darling.
It's true. First it's the inquest, then it's the diary, and now it's the rumours. Why can't anybody in this family learn to leave well alone? The only thing to do with that diary is to burn it.
Burn it? It was Ronnie's. It's like telling me to burn his arm.
Ralph, perhaps Kate's right.
But these things happened. It's our duty to find out about them.
Then we should hand the diary to the police.
What?
Oh, I know that's not what I said before, Ralph. I was hoping to hush it up some way, but now these rumours have started.
Are you trying to...
No, I'm not accusing you of starting them, Ralph.
Well, that's something.
But I am accusing you of not stopping them. One word from you would...
Why should I stop them? If all those kids start equating Sandrock with the man in Ronnie's diary, I don't see any reason why I should stop them.
Then give the diary to the police.
No, Stanley.
But Ruth...
He was my son also, don't forget. Oh, I'm not very proud of it, because if all the things in this dreadful diary are true, we must confess we didn't know him very well. Well, that was our fault while he lived. But now that he's dead, I don't want the police or anybody else prying into his secrets.
But you want to find the man, surely.
I don't think I do. I suppose that's very cowardly of me, but I think Kate's right. We should burn it.
I can't burn it. I've got to keep faith with my son.
Ralph, can't we do that by keeping silent? I think we owe him that.
Elizabeth, don't you care?
Yes, I care. Sometimes I wish I didn't. Sometimes it's easier not to care than to care too much. Oh, if you'll all excuse me, I'm going to my room.
I wish I could understand.
You can't see anybody's point of view but your own, can you, Ralph?
I loved my son.
So did Elizabeth. Ralph, I want you to put an end to these rumors. One word from you would do it.
I can't deny what I believe to be true.
The innocent will suffer.
If Sandrock is innocent, the law won't find him guilty.
There'll be trouble, Ralph. There'll be terrible trouble.
I'm prepared.
Then there's no more for me to say. I'll be going. Good night, Kate.
Good night, Mr. Harris.
Ralph.
What?
Ralph, don't pull down the temple. Good night.
Kate, you'll help me.
Have you made up your mind, Father?
Yes.
Are you going to burn the diary as we asked?
No.
Are you going to give it to the police?
Only when I'm ready.
Then I can't help you, Father.
Well, what are you going to do?
I think I'm going to fight you.
Then that's the way it has to be.
Yes?
Mr. Sandrock?
Yes?
May I speak to you?
Yes, of course. Come in. Won't you sit down?
Do you know who I am, Mr. Sandrock?
Yes, you're Ronnie's sister.
Who is at this moment visiting the camp of the enemy?
How do you mean?
Ronnie always said you were easy to get on with. Is that true?
Your father wouldn't think so.
My father doesn't like you. Why did Ronnie think you were easy to get on with?
Because I don't talk.
I see. We talk a lot at home.
He had nowhere to relax, you see. A child needs a harbor, a place of refuge.
Is that why he rarely slept at home?
I don't know what you mean.
You didn't know that? Oh, yes. He used to stay out at night. I knew that, but I never told anyone.
And why not?
Because I stayed out at night myself once or twice. Do I shock you?
Are you trying to?
I'm not sure.
Why have you come here, Miss Barclay?
I liked Ronnie.
Only liked?
Isn't that enough? Very few people love their relations, you know. Or they say they do, but only because it's expected of them. I liked Ronnie. I don't like my father.
You still haven't explained what you're doing here.
I came to offer you my help.
Do I need it?
A declaration of war was made this evening. In an atmosphere of calm and optimism, General Barclay announced at his headquarters that the situation was dangerous, but he was hopeful of the outcome. Isn't that what they say?
I see. What does he mean to do?
Nail you.
Does he really think I killed your brother?
He thinks you were responsible. And don't misjudge him. It's not just this business of the rumors. He's working along lines of his own.
Has he heard the police found my fingerprints on the window?
What? Then you are in trouble. He kept a diary, you know.
Who?
Ronnie.
A diary?
Does that frighten you? Do you want to know if you're in it?
Well, of course I want to know.
Well, you're not. But another man is. His name is Nightingale.
Is that what you came to tell me?
Yes.
Is this the information your father is working on?
Yes. Is it any help?
Yes, I think it is. Nightingale.
Don't tell me you've heard it before.
Yes, I think I have.
But you couldn't. No one who knows it hasn't read the diary.
Well, I have heard it. Yes, here in this room.
From Ronnie?
No, no, no. From someone he confided in. A friend of his.
Ah, Inspector Lund, come in.
Now, what's all this about, Mr. Harris?
I sent for you because of what happened, and
Mr. Sandrock's class a little while ago.
And what was that?
They got out of hand, Inspector. It was quite frightening.
Well, suppose you tell me how it happened.
Well, I don't know how it happened. One minute they were calm, and the next day...
You'd better tell him about the note, Sandrock.
Well, there was a note being passed along the back row. It's fantastic.
What did the note say, Mr. Sandrock?
It said, "Look at the killer's hands. How would you like those around your neck?"
What did you do?
I can't quite remember. It was such a frightful shock. I told them I wanted the name of the author in 60 seconds. They began to murmur. Then I lost my temper. I said they'd stay there all afternoon if necessary and all night.
Go on.
And a boy giggled. I saw red. I turned on him. And the whole class started yelling. Someone threw an inkstand. They banged their desks and started chanting, "Killer, killer, killer." They drove me from the room. I was finished. I wanted to be sick.
There you are, Inspector.
I asked for you at the police station. They told me you were here.
You're just in time, Mr. Barclay. I think this concerns you.
I want to know what you're doing about the death of my son.
Your son died, Mr. Barclay, after falling from a window. What do you expect me to do about it?
The directions of the coroner were quite explicit.
The coroner knows no more about this case than I do.
But this man, Sandrock...
Yes, he's involved too. His class rebelled about half an hour ago, Mr. Barclay.
That's not my doing. What do they know about him?
Nothing. They know nothing about me. Once they had respect, affection, that bond has been broken. And who'll answer for that?
And for the death of my son.
And for that too. We're both entitled to a hearing, your son and I.
Who'll speak for the boy? My boy is dead.
The boy must speak for himself. Let him speak, Barclay.
Ralph, be careful.
You don't know what you're asking, Sandra.
I'm challenging you. Let the boy speak.
What are you trying to do?
To defend myself, to force you into the open. I can't fight an invisible enemy. Will you hand the diary to the police?
What's this about a diary?
You're mad, Sandrock. You're asking for trouble.
I don't care. Go on, Barclay. Come out into the open.
All right. Inspector, I'm accusing this man of the murder of my son.
Your evidence, Mr. Barclay?
Here it is. My son's diary.
Now let the boy speak for himself.
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, Family on Trial.
Next time you fill your tank with gasoline, fill up with new power, new performance, new economy. Fill up with Caltex butane-boosted gasoline. That's the gasoline made to take better care of your car's performance. Designed for today's faster pace. Caltex butane-boosted gasoline at the sign of the Caltex star, where we take better care of your car.
The Caltex Theater now presents Frank Waters in Family on Trial, Act Two.
Well, Kate, perhaps you can tell me where we go from here.
Perhaps Charlie can. Think, Charlie, can't you remember any more?
No, miss.
But didn't Ronnie give you any hint who this Mr. Nightingale was?
No, miss.
Did he tell you how he first met Mr. Nightingale?
No, miss.
And you never asked him?
No, miss.
Didn't he even tell you he kept a diary?
No, it's no use, Kate. He doesn't know. Leave him alone.
I don't understand you. First you say he's our only chance, and then you tell me to leave him alone.
You're just confusing him. It's no use. He's told us everything he knows.
No, sir.
What?
I just remembered something, sir.
Good for you. What is it?
He promised Ron a bike.
Who did?
Mr. Nightingale.
How do you know, Charlie?
Well, Ron told me, sir. The night before he said, "Mr. Nightingale's given me a bike." And I said, "Who's Mr. Nightingale?" And he said, "Just a man I know."
It's not in the diary.
Perhaps he didn't have a chance to write it down. Are you sure about this, Charlie?
Oh, yes, sir.
But Ronnie already had a bike.
I suppose Mr. Nightingale didn't know that, miss.
I don't think it helps very much. Unless it pinpoints the last time he saw Nightingale.
Charlie, is there anything else you remember?
No, miss. Nothing. I'd tell you if I could, miss. He was my mate.
All right, Charlie, you'd better go now. If you're late, your mother won't let you come again.
Yes, sir. Good night, miss.
Good night, Charlie.
Good night, sir.
Good night. I don't know where we go. I just don't know where we go.
Does that mean you're giving up?
I want to.
But you can't. You've only just started.
I tried to help Ronnie, but he never needed me.
Mark, he needed you to the end. His confidence in you...
There was no real confidence. Or you'd have told me about Nightingale.
There is no one person in whom we can confide everything. We're forced to distribute ourselves among our friends for safekeeping. We can't. We daren't lodge all our trust in just one person.
Not even a friend?
Not a friend, not a lover, not a parent. We're totally visible only to ourselves. Be grateful that you saw more of Ronnie than anyone else. He didn't turn to me that night, nor to his father, nor his mother, nor Charlie, nor to Nightingale. He came to you.
But I don't know why. And somehow I must have failed him.
To give up now would really be to fail him.
What makes you say that?
Because of you, I've been able to see myself. It's not a coincidence, you know, that Ronnie and I both turned to you. You offered something. Security, perhaps, or understanding. Because of you, I could change myself.
You still have faith in me, Kate?
I have as much faith in you as he had.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Proving it to you.
Who are you ringing?
Listen. Hello, is that you, Father? This is Kate. I want to tell you that I'm not coming home again until you've called off this war on Mark Sandrock.
Kate, don't
no,
say...
No, Father, I won't bargain. Goodbye. Now do you believe me, Mark?
Kate, what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to tell you I love you. Don't you understand?
I'm sorry, Inspector Lund, that phone call interrupted us. She rang off without even listening. I can't remember what I was saying. Oh, have you anything more to tell me?
Yes, Mr. Barclay. We haven't been able to corroborate any of the information in your son's diary as yet, but we have established a definite lead which makes us most anxious to find Nightingale.
What is it?
You won't like it.
Tell me.
It concerns the dates of the entries. You'll notice they're not regular.
That's not unusual, is it? A boy isn't a creature of habit.
Oh, no, it's not unusual, no. Mr. Barclay, why didn't you let your son join the youth club at the school?
I've told you. I consider it a complete waste of his time. In addition, I don't care for the boys or the staff who went there.
The quality of these clubs is usually mixed, I grant you. But they serve a useful purpose. They keep the boys off the streets and out of trouble.
What are you leading up to, Inspector?
6 months ago, there was an outbreak of juvenile crime in this borough. We traced it to a gang and let it be known we were on their track. Shortly afterwards, the gang broke up. But the crime continued.
Well?
On August the 22nd, a house was entered in Gladstone Avenue, and articles of value were removed. On September the 4th, a woman saw a boy lurking in Russell Road shortly after midnight. She phoned the police. The boy wasn't found. And then on September the 10th, a sweet shop was broken into, and £20 rifled from the till. 2 days later, it was a garage.
I thought you said the gang had broken up.
Oh, it had. This was something new. I hope you've taken note of those dates I mentioned, Mr. Barclay.
Why?
On each of those days, an entry was made in your son's diary.
Oh,
usually it described an encounter with Mr. Nightingale. But the important thing is that on each of those dates, a crime took place somewhere in this vicinity.
Are you accusing my son?
No, no, no. I only said we've established a link. Oh, a curious one. But a link just the same.
It's nothing to go on.
Not a lot, perhaps.
Nothing. And to imply that just because I didn't let him go to that club...
Your son wanted something from the club which he couldn't find elsewhere.
What? Affection? Understanding? Ah, he had these things. He was a good boy, I tell you. And I should know.
Perhaps you didn't know him very well.
My own son?
Can we honestly say we know our children?
But we were close friends.
Yes. Perhaps that's the most insidious relationship of all. When a boy is friends with his father, isn't there a great deal more he daren't tell him?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Barclay.
If a father can't know, who can?
As a father myself, I wish I knew.
Inspector.
Oh, Mrs. Barclay, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were there.
Don't apologize, Inspector. I've been listening for some time to the truth about my son.
Beth.
I don't think the dates are a coincidence, Ralph.
Why do you say that, Mrs. Barclay?
Oh, it's so difficult to explain. He was a lost boy. I think I knew that all along.
He wasn't a criminal.
He was unhappy, Ralph.
That doesn't make him a thief.
It makes it possible.
Beth, he was my son. Nobody understood him as I did. Ever since he was a little child, we understood one another. I wanted great things for that boy. Great things. And I know he was capable. He couldn't have done anything bad without guidance. You say to me he was a criminal. Then I say to you, arrest the man who put him up to it. Arrest Mr. Nightingale. Arrest Mark Sandrock.
I can't do that until we have proof.
Go on with your investigations. You'll find the proof.
Ralph, don't force this too much. Be careful.
You want me to continue to investigate the diary?
Yes, yes, yes.
Very well, Mr. Barclay. I only hope you're not making a mistake.
Come in. Oh, that's you, Sandrock.
I was told you wanted to see me, Headmaster.
Yes, yes, I did. Do you know why?
No.
Can't you guess?
Yes, the parents' petition.
Sometimes I'm shocked at my own cowardice.
Aren't we all?
You say that? You have not gone back a step?
How could I? I was fighting for my life.
I wanted to help you, Sandrock. I tried, but apparently the Barclay name still counts for something.
Well?
The parents' petition has gone to the education office. At a meeting of the Board of Governors last night, I was instructed to ask for your resignation.
I see.
Of course you have the right to appeal, but I don't know how much good it will do. I fought, Sandrock. I really did. I asked for reasons. I asked for proof. I even asked for time. I challenged Ralph Barclay to his face. I also threatened to resign myself.
It wouldn't help.
They were adamant. We are fighting for the school, they said. As long as the faintest breath of suspicion hangs over this man, we cannot afford to employ him.
No facts. No proof. Just suspicion. Did you tell them about Charlie Turrell?
It was no use.
The one person who'd heard of Nightingale, and he swore it wasn't me.
I tell you it was no use. Their minds were made up.
By Barclay? Oh, yes. Now it goes round in circles. Just when you think you've found a way out, there he is again, and back you go to the beginning. Well, ask away, Headmaster. Ask for my resignation.
Sandrock, don't make it harder for me.
Why not? What have I got to lose?
I don't want you to go. You're valuable to us here. But I can't oppose the Board of Governors.
Then ask me, Headmaster.
Will you resign, Sandrock?
Emphatically no.
For the sake of your own future.
I have no future.
Won't you even think it over?
No.
Then I must tell you we no longer have need of your services here. I must also ask you to leave the school at once. That is all.
Very well. I'll collect my things.
Sandrock.
Yes?
I'm sorry.
Ronnie Barclay would have been sorry, too. Goodbye, Headmaster.
Is this the way it ends, then, Mark? With complete retreat? Won't you stay another week, another day?
I'm all packed.
Don't you see? This is just what they're hoping you'll do.
I can't help that.
People like you don't run away.
They do when they've got nothing left to fight for.
You can't mean that.
Can't I? Look, Kate, I loved working here. I found my job worthwhile. In a way, I suppose we're all looking for some kind of justification in life, some kind of reassurance that we're not just wasting our time. Well, I found that here. But it's gone now, don't you see? And no matter what I do, it will never come back.
I put such faith in you. You were my strength.
I stood against them.
But not to the end. That's where it matters. To remain standing when even your cause is gone.
I stood against them until their sheer physical weight overwhelmed me. Your father I'll fight. The school I'll fight. But when the very people I'm fighting for turn against me, then there's nothing more I can do.
There's something you haven't told me, isn't there?
Oh, it's a small thing.
Nothing is a small thing. What haven't you told me?
You'll never understand, Kate.
At least give me the chance.
All right. Here, read this letter.
Dear Mr. Sandrock, having talked it over with Charlie's father, I've thought it best for all concerned if you do not see our boy again. He is not one to be easily led, but in view of all this talk, we think your friendship with him should end. I'm sure we're all very grateful for what you've done for him. Yours faithfully, Alice Tuttle. Yes, I can understand. But it's the cruelest and the neatest blow.
You see, Kate, there doesn't seem any point in offering myself up as a useless sacrifice.
They don't really believe. They only have to be shown.
Then it'll have to be by someone else.
There is no one else. I searched. Ronnie searched. In the end, we both turned to you.
Then you expected too much of me. There comes a time when one can't resist any more. Oh, I had a little present for you. I don't suppose you want it now.
What is it?
Nothing very impressive. I found it this afternoon when I was clearing up my things. It's a photograph of Ronnie. It was one of the prints we were working on when he came to see me that night. I thought you'd like it.
He looks so happy. Where was it taken?
At a party at the youth club several months ago. It was going to be published in the school magazine.
I'd love to have it. Mark, did you say it was taken at the youth club?
Yes, at the annual party. They have it every year just before going to camp. Oh, my. The party!
Mark!
I've got to take this photograph to the inspector.
Hey, Master, what have I been called here for?
To wait, Benshaw. Like Mr. Barclay and myself.
Stan, what is all this about? What does Lunt want?
The inspector just asked me to see that you were here, Ralph. And Mr. Benshaw, too.
Mm. And where is he?
Right here, Mr. Barclay. Come on in, Sandrock.
Yes, Inspector.
What is the purpose of this meeting, Inspector?
Let's say one of clarification, Mr. Barclay. Now, I'm going to start with you, Benshaw.
Well, I ain't done nothing.
According to your evidence of the inquest, all the windows in the science block were closed after you'd done your last round on the night young Barclay died.
Well, that's what I said.
Those windows were closed or locked?
Well, both, of course.
You actually checked each individual window?
Well, yes, I told you, didn't I?
Yes, you did. But you lied. You want us to believe that you unlocked the photography room after Mr. Sandrock had left it in order to check each window. I put it to you that you didn't. You merely assumed that the windows in that room are locked.
Well, it seemed natural, didn't it?
Did it? Those windows cannot be unlocked from the outside, so it's reasonable to believe that the catch on the one which was open had been slipped earlier in the evening.
By Ronnie?
Yes, Mr. Sandrock. When he came to see you during the photography class.
But why, Inspector?
I'm coming to that, Mr. Harris. Ronnie came to the room for something. When he realized Mr. Sandrock was too busy to attend to him, he slipped the latch on the window in order to return later. And now, Benshaw, you also told us that you discovered an open window on the landing of the same floor while you were making your last round.
Yes, that's right.
You closed and locked it?
Of course.
Of course. It was part of your job, wasn't it? It was the part that ended in tragedy. To re-enter the photography room, the door of which you'd locked, Ronnie now had to climb out of the window on the landing and make his way along a parapet 6 inches wide. Using one hand, he opened the window he'd previously unlatched and stepped inside.
Can you prove this, Inspector?
I think so. While he was in the photography room, Benshaw was making his last round. He did not unlock the door, or else he would have found the boy in the room. But he did discover the open window on the landing. This he locked in accordance with his duties.
It wasn't my job to guess the kid was in the room.
It was your job to check everything. When he'd finished in the room, Ronnie tried to return by the way he'd come. He couldn't close the window of the photography room from the outside, so leaving it open, he worked his way back to the landing window, only to find that closed and locked against him.
No.
When he realized he couldn't get back through the landing window, Ronnie tried to make his way back along the parapet to the photography room. But this time, he panicked and...
My God.
It was accidental death, Mr. Barclay.
He didn't do it deliberately.
No.
Why weren't we told this before, Inspector Lunt?
Because of your evidence at the inquest, Mr. Harris. You spoke so strongly in favor of suspicious circumstances that we were forced to consider the possibilities of even murder.
And now?
It wasn't until Mr. Sandrock came to see me last night that I really understood. He brought me a photograph.
What photograph?
Mr. Sandrock, will you tell me again what you were doing the night Ronnie came to see you at the club?
We were enlarging photographs to be used in the school magazine.
Photographs of what, Sandrock?
Of the club party.
And Ronnie knew you were doing this?
He saw two of the completed prints, yes.
Are these the prints you brought me last night, Mr. Sandrock?
Yes.
They're the same prints you were enlarging when Ronnie came to see you?
Yes.
Mr. Harris, take a look at these photographs. Can you identify him?
Yes.
That is Ronnie Barclay?
Yes.
At the club party?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. When was this party?
August 30th. It's the same date every year.
If I may quote from Ronnie's diary. August 30th, went to a party to escape Mr. Nightingale. He can't get me where there's a crowd. He came to speak to Mr. Sandrock about the photographs.
But why?
Probably to ask him to suppress them. You see, he wasn't allowed to be at the club.
Well, didn't he say he went back to get the photographs? Then why weren't they found on his body?
Because I'd already taken them home with me. I only found them last night when I was packing to leave.
But why was he so afraid of having the photographs printed?
Well,
because of me. Is that what you're going to say?
I won't detain you any further, gentlemen.
But this can't be the end. You must have more to tell us.
No, Mr. Barclay, there's no more.
What about the diary?
I thought you'd guess by now. The diary is completely false. Only the dates are significant. The entries have no bearing on reality whatsoever. Simply emotional outbursts. In the same way that his petty crimes came about.
But Mr. Nightingale...
never existed. It was an empty name, a symbol, if you like, of all that he hated most in life.
Then Sandrock is cleared?
Yes, Mr. Harris. Sandrock is cleared. And so the inquest ends. And the child is buried for the last time.
And that's it, Kate? The truth at last?
No, Father. Not all of it.
What do you mean?
We haven't reached the end yet.
Then where is the truth?
Just out of reach. In sight, Father, but just out of reach.
I don't know what you mean. Lunt explained everything. There's no suicide, no murder.
The murderers are in this room.
This room?
Father, admit that we killed Ronnie.
No.
In ignorance and callousness, in selfishness and vanity, in ambition and pride.
No.
That's how he died. Not by falling from a window. Face it, Father. Face the real truth.
What more do you want?
I want to know what you talked about that last night. I want to know why he went off to steal that photograph. The club wasn't so important.
It was. It was.
Then tell me why.
I knew about him. I knew all the things Lunt told me. The breaking into the houses. Money from the sweet shop, the garage.
You knew?
Yeah, I found the money he'd stolen.
Father, why didn't you tell me?
I didn't think you'd understand, though I wanted to. But there was a wall between us.
And you went on all this time pretending not to know. Why?
I loved him.
In spite of everything?
He was my son. I asked him about the money that night. He denied having stolen it, of course.
And the photographs?
I warned him that if ever I found out he'd been lying to me, I'd take him to the police.
So that's why he had to get it. So that you wouldn't know that he'd lied about going to the club.
Yes. Even then I felt he was being led. I couldn't believe he was doing wrong by himself. So when the diary turned up, I thought there must be somebody. The boy was good at heart, Kate.
How can you tell? He was lying to
me. No, not at the end. He said he would be a better son and promised he'd be honest with me. And that wasn't just because of the material things I offered him. He really meant it.
Material things?
Well, I promised him a new bicycle. I thought it would restore our trust in one another.
You promised him what?
Kate, what's the matter?
Oh, dear heaven, it was you. It was you.
What is it?
It was you all the time, don't you see? You were Mr. Nightingale.
What are you talking about? Lunt said there was no such person.
Not in fact, but in Ronnie's imagination. An empty name for all he hated most in life. And it was you.
He hated you.
He loved me.
He hated you. This is the real truth, in sight and in reach. This is the truth you hunted for. Reach out and touch it.
All his life?
He hated you.
Then there is nothing more. God forgive me, my love had the hand of death on it.
I wish we had never known.
Kate, you won't leave me.
I must, Father, I must.
To go to Sandrock?
If he'll have me.
No, Kate, not to him. Don't you see, we're the only ones who should matter to you. Nothing can replace the love of your own family.
I'm sorry, Father.
So it's all over. Will you tell your mother?
I'll write to her.
When will we see you again?
Not for a long time. We're going away, you see. The school invited Mark to return, but he refused. Things could never be the same again.
Then the temple has fallen after all.
Goodbye, Father. Now I know how I could have loved you.
That knowledge always comes too late. Kate. Kate.
Yes, Father.
Don't curse me.
No, Father. Goodbye. Ralph?
I'm in here, Beth.
Has Kate gone?
Yes.
Why, dear, you're trembling. I'll light the fire and draw the curtains. The evenings are drawing in. It's going to be a long winter.
Yes.
There's a mist creeping over the lawn. It must be nearly time for tea. Ralph, why are you standing like that? What's the matter? What are you listening for?
I thought I heard somebody moving about upstairs.
No, dear. There's only us.
So ends our Caltex play, Family on Trial. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, E. Mason Wood.
Thank you. Family on Trial is written by John Wiles and adapted for radio by Morris Travers. In the starring role you heard,
I played Ralph Barclay.
This was Frank Walker. The supporting cast was as follows. Detective Inspector Lunt, Leonard Bullen. Mark Sandrock, Malcolm Billings. Harris, the headmaster, John Tate. Kate Barclay, Eve Hardwick. Elizabeth Barclay, Dorothy Foster. Charlie Turrell, Michael Thomas. Bainshaw, Terry McDermott.
Thank you, Mr. Wood. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.